Our Heavenly Father, again, we come before Thee and this servant to the pulpit to proclaim Thy word and to avail himself of Thy Holy Spirit. And to that end, Lord, I pray that You would work through me and move my lips and move my heart, Lord, to speak those things which are needful and necessary for him and also for those that would be hearing, either here in the sanctuary or elsewhere through a recording technology. Your word is eternal, Lord, and we can glean much from it in our current physical state. We can never understand the full impact and the full depth of what you have penned through the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit. And so as we open thy word and meditate upon it, Lord, we ask that your spirit would be our guide into all truth, that perhaps, Lord, in a way that we've never before seen or heard, we can pick up something that is new to refresh our hearts, to encourage us, and, Lord, even to convict us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So it is good to be back, as I mentioned, and we had an amazing time at our destination, and let me just read something here in Psalm 19. I always thought I knew the full impact and the meaning of the beginning of Psalm 19. That's not our reading for this afternoon. I'm going to actually have you turn to Psalm 8. But Psalm 19 is very appropriate and relevant and relative to Psalm 8 in the sense that it speaks about God's majesty and glory. And perhaps that's the title of this message this afternoon, is the majesty and glory of God. And by the way, Brother Timothy this morning talked a little bit about the majesty and the glory of God through the humble means of Jesus Christ, his humble birth, his humble place of origin, his humble vocation, his humble city, and yet the majesty and glory of God was very evident in Jesus Christ and his ministry. And it's also evident in creation. And I always thought I pretty much knew what this meant until I came back from vacation here in these recent 10 days or so. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." That means all men are culpable, that is, capable of seeing this, and must admit that there has to be a divine creator. And to see the majesty and glory of the things that he's created really is very, very humbling. So we were in an island, it's Grand Cayman. My wife talked me into taking a boat trip out to the Greater Bay Area, and I'm not really good with boats, as some people know. And when that boat stops in a little rough water, then... But I held it together for some reason, and this trip I got to see underwater the most I've ever seen, and I am telling you, what is underneath the water is absolutely quite amazing. I've never seen anything quite like this. So let me read Psalm 8 for you really quickly, and then I'll explain a little bit about what I'm talking about. Psalm 8 says, and this is by the pen of David, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, that thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. That is the entire Psalm 8. So, loved ones, I'm not much of a snorkeler, but I saw a lot. Just in the place that we were, in the few places that we did some snorkeling. And let me tell you, I've never seen so rich an environment just teeming with life. And it just, Now that I see this, I'm even more convinced that I don't even know the full impact when Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth sheweth his handiwork." I've seen so much, and yet I realize that there's so much more to what God has created. Let me give an example. I looked up some statistics this morning because this was so amazing to me. You know, and I think it was the second day of creation. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, God divided the waters from the waters. He created a firmament that divided the waters below the firmament with the waters above the firmament, right? The third day, he's actually dividing the land and the sea up, right? And then he's creating the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air and the fish in the sea and the marine life. Let me give you an idea of what we don't even know. For the things that we see here on this earth, if I were to ask you, what are the total number of species of marine life in the ocean? It is unknown. What's the total number of species of land life? Unknown. What are the total number of stars in the heavens? Unknown. But there's estimates, and taxonomists around the world have been recording what they have observed. Let me give you an idea. In the ocean alone, 240,000, over 240,000 known species of marine life. Scientists estimate, because the ocean is so vast and so deep, we haven't even seen 10% of the marine life that could be there. That means there's well over 2 million, some estimate millions, double-digit millions, species of marine life, much of which we don't even know. That's the ocean. I'm reading this because it says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars." He's talking about the heavens there, but later he talks about the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, and the fish that are in the sea. Land life. Guess how many species of insects there are? Way over 1 million. And some yet to be discovered. Plants. 380,000 species. Trees, 80,000 plus species. 7,000 species of mammals, 7 billion people plus on the earth in particular. Let's talk about the heavens. They estimate that there's 100 billion stars just in the Milky Way. How many galaxies? They estimate, with the total number of galaxies, the total number of stars, and not 200 billion, not 200 trillion, but 200 billion trillion stars that we know about, or we can estimate through what we see. All these things, all those questions about how many species of marine life, how many species of birds, how many species of plants, animals, unknown. And loved ones, what really impacts me is that this is what we can see and touch and observe and feel. And of course, there's many that we can't observe because in the ocean or in the remote parts of the jungle or wherever. Just knowing the different, the imaginative variety of what God has created is really humbling to me. And it struck me in three different ways. First of all, Jesus said, you know, consider the birds of the air, consider the fowls of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And loved ones, when you look at estimates, they claim that there's on the average 90 billion birds that are flying around the land and the earth. 90 billion. If our heavenly Father feeds every one of them, then Jesus says, how much more value are ye, O ye of little faith? That's humbling to think that, you know, God in his majesty and his creative wisdom has all these creatures taken care of, either because he has put into place laws and principles of nature where some animals feed on other animals, but they're all being fed and they're all taken care of. That's the God that we love and serve. That's very humbling. A second point of humility for me is that in verse 5, he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That's verse 4, actually. And the son of man that thou carest for him or visitest him. For you have made him a little lower than the angels. What an honor that is. We talked about what's in the ocean. We talked about what's in the land. We talked about what's in the heavens. But we didn't even talk about angels. How many angels are there? I don't know. We can't observe them. We can't measure their volume or their force. But I imagine there's many, many, many uncountable, right? If we read in Revelation how many voices there are, they're praising God, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And yet he has picked this creation, mankind, to crown him with glory and honor. Verse 6, made us him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. I just told you how many species that we even know about, and there's much more that we don't know about. And God has made us to oversee that creation, probably mostly on the land and some in the sea too. Amazing that God would choose us out to give us that honor. But you know what's the humbling part for me? It's not just that he's given a crown of glory to man. It's not that he's just given us dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air and the beasts of the land. He knows my name. The God of glory, so much variety on the earth that we can see, and he knows my name. He knows the number of the hairs on my head. He knows my thoughts before they even come out. He saw my form and substance, Psalm 139, before they even came together in my mom's womb. And when I consider 200 billion trillion stars, millions of species in the ocean, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of species of land, animals, and insects on the land, the birds of the air, what am I that he would know my name, that he would know my thoughts, that he would know the numbers of the hairs on my head? That's pretty humbling. And he's given us, loved ones, grace to believe, to be with him for eternity. Just think of this, the masterful designer of the universe that's so magnificent, the stuff that we can see, and we don't even see it all. And he wants me to be with him. He wants you to be with him. And he extends the scepter of grace through Jesus Christ so that in faith, believing in him, that his shed blood can cleanse us from the guilt of sin so that we can stand before the righteous and holy God through Christ to say, "I believe in you. I see your works. I see the glory that you, I see the wisdom and the creativity that you've made all these things. I want to be with you. I love you. I want to be there wherever you are." You know, I can't even imagine when the Spirit of God communicated with the prophets of old. Even today, the Spirit testifies with our spirit. Number one, that we are his, that we are his children, Romans 8, right? I can't even imagine what's going through the mind and visions of the prophets when the Spirit comes to Isaiah and says, "You know, eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, nor have entered into your heart, the heart of mankind, the things that God has prepared for those that love him." Loved ones, if you're looking around and you see the stars, you know how many there are. You can look around and you can say, "We don't even know how many species there are, variety, all kinds of flowers and plants and trees and animals." What's heaven going to be like? If we can see the majesty and glory of God just with what we observe here and know that there's stuff that we haven't even observed yet, think about what heaven's going to be like. How masterful designer God is with the earth, even more so in heaven, right? I want to be there. And by the faith of God and by his grace, I'm going to be there. And it would be lovely to see all of you there too. I'm just very, I don't know, it just struck me. You know, I always thought that I understood, you know, with looking at the creation, what that really meant. But seeing, especially underneath the ocean, the things that are there, the variety of species, the teeming of life that's there, just in the small spot that we were, we serve and love a masterful, wonderful, amazing God. And I I just pray that, like Brother Timothy was saying, that, you know, if obstinance gets in the way, obstinacy maybe is the noun. I just hope God takes that out of our hearts so that the pride can be lowered and we can be humbled, so we can actually see these things in perspective, that we can see how masterful he was, that he can see how loving he is. If he's creating this kind of world here below, can't even imagine the world above that he's created for those that love him. And I pray, loved ones, that God's Spirit would be working through us to encourage our believers, to encourage others who maybe are not believers, to come with us on this journey to a beautiful, heavenly, masterfully designed, awesome place called eternity with God through Jesus Christ and faith in him. May God work within each of us to that end, and we'll give him glory and honor and praise now because we see it in his creation, and then because we will know God as he really is through Christ. May God bless his word to our hearts.